thank you, Vicki. We appreciate you setting the tone for us each and every Sunday as we have the opportunity to come together. Look around, give somebody a wave that says, good morning. We're so glad to see you here today and trust that everybody has had a Merry Christmas. Now, I know you probably have. You've probably eaten way too much. You have enjoyed way too much family, and you're gassed. So just kind of stay with me. You know, paint eyeballs on your eyelids. So even if they close, we'll think you're awake today. I know lots going on, particularly through the Christmas season and as we head in to New Year's. If you are part of our online audience, again, we want to thank you for joining us today, as always. And I hope and pray that at least for the online folks, you had a chance to see our very own Dr. John Cazito last week as we had the opportunity to kind of introduce him to you. All you ever see is his writing and who he is flying under the banner of Central Baptist Church. But we appreciate all that he does. I call him our online minister. So if you ever have any questions, he can definitely get you some answers for him. If he doesn't have them, he will definitely get them for you. So we appreciate Dr. Cazito and all that he does for us. So I tell you what, let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we begin our time today. Father, I just want to come to you thanking you and praising you for this opportunity to be able to come together in your house. Lord, too many times we take for granted the privileges that you have provided each and every one of us. And Lord, I pray this is one that we do not take for granted. Lord, I think about those that are all over the world at this time that don't have the privileges that we have to be able to come together without open persecution. Lord, I think about how they come together. Lord, you've put us in a nice, warm place and a comfortable place. And Father, there are those that are in places that are not comfortable. They're sitting on rocks or sitting on the ground. But Lord, they're doing so that they might have the opportunity to hear your word, Lord, to do life together with fellow believers. So Lord, today we praise you. We thank you for the wonderful gifts that you have bestowed upon our lives. We pray, Lord, that today you would truly help us to put aside those distractions. Lord, we know what they are. We know that everybody's got schedules for today. We've got things to do and places to go, people to see. I pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit would help us to put those things on the back burner for these few moments that we have the opportunity to gather around your word. So, Lord, right now, I just pray that your blessing would fall upon us in a great way as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, folks, again, we're in that time of the year where we take the Lottie Moon offering. Hopefully, we've had that opportunity to educate folks. Now, I know that a lot of times there are folks that sit back and say, well, we've done this for years. That was something that Brad and I were just talking about. I can still remember one time when I was in my previous church, and I was talking about homecoming. And it was so funny because it was a new believer and it was an older fella. And that guy came up to me at lunch, and we were actually having lunch together. And he said, well, where's this football game going to be? I said, what are you talking about, football? He said, homecoming. He said, homecoming's a football game. That's where you like crown a king and a queen and all that. And I said, no, that's not what that is. Because he didn't have that opportunity to grow up in church or what we would call church life. So he didn't understand what homecoming was. So I had the chance to explain that to him. And a lot of times, we don't explain Lottie Moon. Lottie Moon, as you've been seeing through this year, was a missionary to China who literally gave her life. As a matter of fact, Lottie Moon literally starved to death on her way back from China because she was making sure that all those that she had the opportunity to come in contact with and to reach with the gospel of Christ had what they needed to survive, even to her detriment. So throughout this year, you've been seeing some history of Lottie Moon. And what we do is we take the Lottie Moon, we call it the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. And what that is 100% of that goes to the missionaries that are on the foreign mission fields. Now, at Easter, we do the Annie Armstrong Easter offering. Same sort of deal. It's named after Annie Armstrong, who was a missionary. But that particular Easter offering covers North American missions, which is United States, Canada, Mexico. So Lottie Moon covers everything outside of United States, Canada, and Mexico. So those funds go to support our foreign missionaries, and 100% of what you give goes to those missionaries. So we want you to know that. And once you do that, if the Lord so leads you to contribute to that, you can take one of the offering envelopes that you may find in your pew. You can write Lottie Moon on that. We'll make sure it gets in the proper offering to be sent as our Lottie Moon offering from our church. And if you don't have one of those envelopes, you holler at somebody, you wave a hand. We'll make sure that you get one. But at any rate, this is what we do at Christmas, and we kind of look at it like this. This is a part of our church's tithing. If we ask you to tithe, we believe that the church ought to do that as well. So we try to make sure that we give 10% of non-designated funding that comes into the church goes towards mission endeavors. So we appreciate all that you do. We appreciate your heart for missions. And we do have one last video to show to you today, and that is a thank you for giving by Eric. This is actually done by, let me get my eyes on here, Eric Reese. Go ahead and roll that.
My name is Eric Reese. I'm here in São Paulo, Brazil, right next to the subway station and the bus station. And because you're giving, we're able to reach thousands for the cause of Jesus Christ. Your giving allow us to be able to stand here and share the gospel with people in this city, a city of 23 million people. We couldn't do it without your sacrificial giving. Bless you. Thank you for giving.
And once again, if the Lord so leads you to give to that offering, you can just put that in an envelope, mark it Lottie Moon. We will make sure that it gets where it's going. And as a reminder, 100% of that goes to our missionaries that are on the field. Let's continue to worship as Brad comes to lead us.
Good morning. For, as you're turning to 96, good Christian men rejoice. I want to say welcome to my brother-in-law. David Shaw is in from Texas today. We are married. We figured out the easiest way to say we're married to sisters. So Lachelle is home right now with Alicia, his wife, and our mother-in-law, and they've got the grandchildren this morning. So anyway, good to have him today, and he got to visit with a few folks. We've got our last Sunday of singing the carols for the year, so why don't we stand up and sing Good Christian Men Rejoice. Thank you.
Carol. Today we're going to be looking at passages in the Word of God that come out of the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6 as well as one out of chapter 10. But I'll bring you up to speed on those as we get to them. We have just come through the time of Christmas, the time when we celebrate the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ. And, you know, it's all about keeping things in perspective. You know, like I say, I've said before, you know, it's okay if Santa Claus comes to the house as long as you realize that Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, and that the reason why we celebrate the Christmas season is to celebrate the birth of Christ. The big spiritual word is incarnation. Y'all like that? That's a 50-cent word. That means when heaven came down through Jesus Christ, the birth of Christ, you know, for you and I. For him to live that 33 sinless years on this earth, to go to Calvary's cross, to be put in a barred tomb, to resurrect on the third day, to ascend back to the Father, and better yet, is going to take us all out of here with him someday. And I tell you one thing, if you look at the signs of the times, I think it's actually sooner than later when it comes down to it. That's my personal opinion. But as we sit back and we think about today, we think about as we have gathered together in the Lord's house, we think about coming through Christmas, and we think about, you know, the new birth that you and I are given in Christ Jesus. It says, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I love how the Bible makes things so that we can understand it. It's not about trying to complicate it. It is actually about trying to make it simple enough that a child can understand it. Now, I've shared with you before that there are times when I'm with colleagues, and I think there's something about them wanting to use words that nobody understands, probably themselves. They probably don't understand them either. You know, they start using these big words to try to show things, and I've always been that guy, and they're like, well, what do you think there, Pastor Roy? And I'm like, I don't know, because I don't have any idea what you just said. You know, if you make that so a country boy can understand it, then I'll give you my opinion on it. But I have no idea what it is that you just said. So it's about being able to make, you know, the story of Christ simple enough that we can understand it, simple enough that like those particular shepherds that night who were the lowliest of low, that we are invited to come to see the place where Jesus lay, to see his birthplace. We're invited to see the empty tomb, which means that death, hell, and sin have been conquered, and you and I are invited to spend eternal life with him. I've said it many, many times. There's something simple about an invitation. It's not complicated. You have one of two choices. If you get an invitation to something or to go someplace, you have to do one of two things. You either accept the invitation or you reject the invitation. You either go or you don't go. And Jesus comes before each and every one of us and says, I went to Calvary's cross and through the grave for you. Will you accept eternal life through me? The question is, have you done that? I don't care how spiritual you are. Don't care how many little perfect attendance stars that you got when you was coming up in Sunday school. How many songs that you have sang beautifully within the church, or how many sermons that you preach within the church. If you don't know Jesus, you are just as lost as the worst heathen out there on the face of this planet. And you will be eternally separated from God Almighty. So we think about that as we come through the Christmas season. And then right now we're at that time where we've come through Christmas and many of us have just breathed a sigh of relief. You know, probably on Christmas night you sat there and you took a breath and you said, we did it. You know, all the family was in, they were all fed, they were happy, the Christmas presents were opened, and you're like, we did it. But now when we look at the spiritual side of things, we're getting ready to head into a new year. Most of us, if you haven't already seen those things this week, you will start either seeing on television or hearing on the radio, like the year in review. They'll start going back over things that happened in the year 2025 as we prepare to close it out. And then as Christians, that's, you know, one of the things that we often do is we will sit back and everybody is really good, whether you say it or not, about making New Year's resolutions. You know, what's happened is you've looked back over 2025 and you've seen, you know what, some of you said, hey, I did pretty well here. Some of you look back over 2025 and say, I crashed and burned the second week in January. You know, there were things that really need, yeah. And by the way, I think a lot of times when it comes down to the spiritual things, those are convictions of the Holy Spirit in areas where we need to do a better job. Now, in and of yourself, that's impossible to do. You have to do that with the help of the Lord. And as I thought about these things, I thought about, you know, what happened. How do we please the Lord in our daily living? Where shall I draw the line on questionable activities? That's the best way for me to say it. All of us have heard that expression, because I think all of y'all got a little bit of country in you. Yeah, you probably use that expression at some point, and you'll say, I'll tell you one thing, there's a lot of stuff I've done, but I'll draw the line on that. How many of y'all have ever heard that or said it? Yeah, you're like, oh, this is where I draw the line. That was also a challenge back years and years ago where, you know, if all of a sudden a couple of fellas had a little problem, they'd draw that line in the sand and they'd say, don't you cross that line. I'm drawing a line. In other words, I'm not going past this particular point. And sometimes we do that with all of the vim, vigor, and vitality. Let me hit this scripture with you. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And I'm only going to use two verses today. But 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12 says this. It says, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. So when we look at this particular passage, you know, sometimes we look at it and we're like, well, that's a little bit confusing. Sometimes it sounded like it was a little bit redundant. But basically what we need to do is we need to draw that line on anything that is not expedient. Now think about that for a moment. When I sit back and I say anything that is not expedient, what am I talking about? See, Paul reminds us that the Christian life is a new life. He is doing a new thing within you and I. Remember when I said earlier, I said, you know, when any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And he goes on, he says, such were some of you in these particular passages that we're looking at. You know, but you and I, through Christ, have been washed. We have been set apart. We have been made just in the sight of God Almighty. We are one of His children. And you know what? He expects us to act like one of His children. I've used this expression a lot, but I can remember growing up, and all of us, because I look around this room, and a lot of y'all have hair that's gray. Back in the days when discipline was a little bit different, you know, and those people would look at you, whether it was neighbors, family members, teachers especially, they would sit back and say, "You weren't raised that way. I know better than that. You were not raised like that. You need to start acting like your upbringing." Amen? And then you're sitting there going, "Oh, no, they're going to tell mom and dad, and I'm going to be in trouble." And you know what they did? They told mom and dad, and you were in trouble. You need to start acting like your upbringing. So let me ask this question. Are we acting like our upbringing? What is our upbringing? If any man's in Christ, he's a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We need to be living like a child of the King. Now, that doesn't mean that you parade around with your nose so high up in the air that when it rains, you drown. That's not what that means. What it means is, if we read the Word of God, He says, "My children are humble." Yeah, He says, he says that you put others in front, that you serve others. He says, if you want to be first, you need to be last. Y'all picking up what I'm putting down? But how are we living in this life today? So as we look forward to a new year, as we look forward to what's coming, we need to draw that line and say, "I'm not going to cross that line on things that are not expedient." And He says that all things are lawful, but we're not saved by keeping the law. Remember that? I've often said, I think that probably one of the most confusing times in history would have been to have lived at the time when Jesus walked and lived at the time through the crucifixion and the resurrection. And people would sit back and say, "Well, why do you think that would be so difficult?" Because you got to remember that they were living under the law prior to the resurrection of Christ. And then Jesus said, "I am going to do something new." We don't like new things. We're Baptists. We don't like new things anyway, do we? Remember what He said? Remember when we took communion at Christmas Eve, remember what He said? He says, it says, "In like manner, when He supped, He took the cup, saying, 'This is the,'" what covenant? "New covenant in my blood." In other words, there wasn't going to have to be animal sacrifices time after time after time. Jesus said, "I will be the perfect once for one and all sacrifice." This is a new thing. Could you imagine how confusing that must have been? Your whole life you have been brought up to live under the law. And now all of a sudden, you're getting to live by grace. Whew. Man, let me tell you something. There's freedom in living under the grace of God as opposed to under the law. So we need to draw that line. It says that all things are lawful, but we're not saved by keeping the law. All things are not expedient. That's another fancy word. You know, expedient. What does that mean? Expedient means that which helps us along. So all things are not expedient. All things don't help us along the way. Not all things contribute to growth in the Christian life. And all God's people said, in fact, most things don't contribute to growth in your spiritual life. And therein lies the problem. Are you growing? Are you growing in the Lord? Is He teaching you new things through His Word? Is He teaching you new things through spiritual messages? Is He teaching you how to come alongside Him? You know, it's interesting enough that part of the reason that we don't know the Lord in the manner that we do and we don't function as we do is we don't hang out with Him. We don't spend time with Him. Are you spending time with the Father? Think about it for a moment. You know, most of the time when I learn stuff about people, I don't learn it because I don't go up and say, well, Brad, today I've got this 90-page interview thing to give to you. How about filling that out so I know some stuff about you? That's not how that works. No, what you do is you spend time with people. You get to hear what their story is. Oh, Lord have mercy, did I just go there? You get to hear their story. And by the way, if you're hearing their story, that means that they are testifying, they are a witness. Remember, witness can only testify to what they have seen and they have heard. And they're telling you their story. Listen, how many people do we tell our story of salvation? How many people, when we sit back, we'll sit there and high five all the time over a ball game with somebody we don't even know because they're wearing the same jersey we are. But yet we won't tell them about the greatest thing ever, and that's Jesus. Are we allowing things that are not expedient to take that first place in our life? The things that aren't helping us along. Because not all things contribute to growth in the Christian life. You got to ask this question. If what I'm getting ready to say, will this make me love Christ more? Think about it. Those are litmus tests. Well, if what I'm getting ready to say, what I'm getting ready to do, is this going to make me love Christ even more? Most of the time, you know what we do? We go, no, it's not. Then it's probably a real good idea to jettison that, to not do those things. You ask the question, will this enable me to serve Christ more effectively? The things I'm doing. You see, if they don't, you know what we need to do? We need to draw that line. We need to draw that line in the sand and say, if this isn't going to draw me closer to the Lord, if this is not going to help me serve him better, then why am I going to waste my time on that? Because let me make this promise. That is exactly what it is. You are wasting your time on those things. I think it's going to be so sad someday when people stand before the Master and they give an account for how they utilized their time. Can you imagine what that's going to be like? Well, Roy, here were a bunch of things you could have been doing for me, but you weren't. You were more enthralled with what the world had to offer. You know, the world that's going to pass away, the things that don't make it to eternity in heaven. But yet, we spend so much of our time on those things. You know why we do that? Because Satan loves to distract us. And he'll give us a bunch of cool things to do that don't amount to a hill of beans when it comes to the kingdom. And what we'll find, if we're not careful, is that we have spent our whole life on things that don't amount to a hill of beans, things that aren't going to make it into eternity, things that don't grow us, things that don't bring us closer to the Father, things that don't tell his story to other people. So what do we need to do as 2026 starts? You draw the line. So you draw the line on anything that is not expedient. Remember I gave you what the definition of that word is? Expedient. That which helps us along. Draw the line on things that don't help us along the way. The second thing we need to draw a line at is we need to draw a line on anything that enslaves us. Go back to verse 12. It says, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Ooh, this is where it gets a little tricky. There is a wonderful, wonderful freedom that comes in Christ Jesus. And it is because of his grace. Now, I will say this. If you think that the Bible is simply about spending your whole life doing all the do's and not doing the don'ts, then you are missing the greatest part of what spirituality and Christianity is all about. You know what happens? That's when legalism steps in. Legalism steps in when we're more concerned about keeping some man-made rules or laws than keeping up with what it is that God says. And here's what happens. It can actually imprison us. It can actually bring us, it can bind us up. Last time I checked, there's freedom in Christ. And boy, what a wonderful moment that is. I can still remember talking with a good Christian man. I love him dearly, who grew up in a very legalistic background. You know, if you get out of line, God's going to slap you down kind of thing. And there was never anything about God's love, never anything about God's grace. And after a while, it finally clicked with him. And he said, you know what? There is a great freedom when it comes down to understanding the grace of God. I said, there you go. That's the way it should be. That's the way it should be with all of us. So we need to draw the line on anything that is going to enslave us. It says, all things are in my power, but I will not be overpowered by those things in my life. All things are permitted. But think about it like this. You know, here's the thing. Money's lawful, isn't it? Oh, geez, preacher's going to get in my wallet. Money is lawful. Money is permitted. But I will not be under its power. You know what? If God's going to bless me in that manner, here's what I got to understand. It ain't mine anyway. It's all his. And I need to be a good steward. I need to manage those things well. But we cannot allow them to hold us captive, to bring us into bondage, to where anything, and I'm going to say it like this, anything that we put over God, we make a God, right? So if your bank account is higher than the Creator and your Savior, then it's out of line. So all things are lawful, and all things are permitted. Do not allow yourself to come under the power of it. You be the one that has the power over it. I like, I remember a song when I was younger that was at a, I think it was in a choir that I was attempting to sing at. I can't say I sang in it, but I still remember it was about you can't serve God and mammon, or you can't serve God and money. It says, one of those deserves your service, the other should serve you. Okay? The Lord deserves our service. The other things should serve us, but they have to be kept in the proper perspective. Listen, folks, if Satan knows all he has to do is give you a little something to turn your head, he'll give you something. Do you ever think about that? If all he's got to do is distract you by some things, lead you down the primrose path, he'll do it. It's the way he is. Recreation is lawful. That's what this verse is talking about. Recreation is lawful, but it's not to be our master. It is not to take the place of God in our lives. We're not to elevate it to a particular position to the point where it is number one over our Savior. Political power is lawful, but it should not be our master. Not to rule us. Let nothing, the word tells us, let nothing become your master with the exception of our Savior. Let me ask you something as you start to head into 2026. What do you have ahead of God? You need to do a priority shuffle. You need to make sure that God is on the top, and you need to draw a line and say, I will never. By the way, you can say it all you want to. Doing it's two different things, right? You can't do it yourself. You have to give that to the Lord and say, Lord, I need some help making sure these things don't rise above who you are. That's what it is for this coming year. Are you going to draw some lines? I think sometimes what happens is we get to this particular point in the year, and I don't know about you, but are there times you get frustrated? And when I say you get frustrated, because you sit back and you said at the beginning of 2025, I will not let this happen. I will not allow these things to take place. I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to do the other thing. And here you are at the end of 2025 looking back, and you have crashed and burned on every one of those things you said you would not do. Isn't it kind of frustrating? I think it can be. But you know why? Most of the time it's that way because we tried to do it in our own power, not in the power of the Lord. Not by saying, Lord, here it is. I'm giving this over to you. Lord, I'm asking you right now to help me keep these things in the proper perspective. Help me to keep the priorities in the right manner. Any of you when you was little, and I'm going to go ahead and say when you were little, maybe it was when you were an adult, but that's okay. We won't. Anybody ever tell you you had your priorities out of order? Three of you. Okay. My people. Four. Yes, I see that hand. Oh, I see those hands all over the sanctuary. Yeah. Your priorities are out of order. And the thing about it is, here's generally what happened. When they told us that, it made us mad, didn't it? Who are you to tell me I got my priorities out of order? But then, if the truth be known, when we went and looked back, we found out they were exactly right. Our priorities were out of order. Now, most of the time, we didn't go admit that to them. But we did a shuffle, or we had tried to do a shuffle. Our priorities were out of order. Where do you draw the line? See, there's nothing, I've always said this, there's nothing magical about when the clock strikes 12 o'clock midnight on January the 1st. But yet, it's almost like that physical line that we can draw. It's something that we can go back to. It's something that we can say, I'm making this start. Now, I'm also going to get a little bit biblical in a different way here. Because if the Lord's put that on your heart right now, don't wait till January the 1st. Don't sit back and say, oh, I got a few more days I can be, you know, goofy. No, don't do that. Yeah, I've often wondered that. Yeah, when we talk about Pharaoh and remember the frog plague, I'm going to tell you one thing. That you sitting there going, well, frogs aren't that bad. That sounds nasty to me. Because it said there was frogs everywhere. They was hopping around in the houses, in the kitchens, in the pots, in the pans. You were stepping on them. And I grew up in the country, and ain't nothing stinks worse than the carcass of a dead frog. And it said there was piles, heaps and piles of them. That place probably stunk so bad, I wouldn't have been able to have made it. And the ironic part about it was, when Pharaoh finally had enough of it, and he went back, and he goes to Moses, and he says to him, he goes, hey, it's enough with the frogs. Go to God, call off the frogs. Moses asked a very interesting question. When would you like for me to do that? Now, I don't know about you, but if something's already driven me to that particular point, my answer would be, how about yesterday? But what was Pharaoh's answer? Tomorrow. Tomorrow? Oh, okay, let's just put up with this mess for another 24 hours. I'd have been like, can you get rid of them tonight? Can you get rid of them in the next few minutes? No. See, some of us are sitting back with that theology in our lives. Okay, I know I need to draw some lines. I know I need God's help. I'm going to start January the 1st. No, you need to start today so that you can cross the finish line of 2025 and start 2026 well. Don't let that get away from you. Draw those lines. So what else do we need to do? Let me finish this up. We need to draw the line on anything that does not edify. Now, if you turn about a page over, it's going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, particularly verse 23. It says, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. See, not all things build people up, do they? You know, we're supposed to be building people up. I don't know why it is, but in this world today, we seem to be a whole lot better at tearing people down than we are building people up. And the sad truth of that matter is that Christian people seem to be leading the way in the destruction. We need to do things that edify people. Who are we building up? That's a question for you. Who is it that you are building up? Maybe there's somebody in your family, somebody in your church family, in your neighborhood, in your workplace that needs lifted up, that needs edified. Don't lie to them, but lift them up. Yeah, tell them that's a nice dress they've got on today. Tell them that you never know what's going on in people's hearts and lives. And sometimes just a simple word can change things about them. Who are we building up? In context, our brothers and sisters in Christ, we should be building each other up. We shouldn't be cutting each other down. But boy, we can talk, can't we? And by the way, this is nothing new. The Lord talked about gossip back in the New Testament church. We got to stop it. We got to start being cheerleaders for our brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to be building up the body of Christ, because here's what happens when we go where we are built up, when we go where people love on us, we want to come back, don't we? When we love on people as we should, I've said this 1,000 times, there wouldn't be enough room in this sanctuary, there wouldn't be enough room in this church, there wouldn't be enough room on this property. People would be dying to get here, because you don't know the emptiness in some people's hearts that just for somebody to reach out, just for somebody to say, hey, I love you, and mean it. See, they got to know you mean it. Then they want to be where you are. Then they're willing to listen to your story. They're willing to listen to your witness. So you ask yourself the question as you head into the new year, will this, what I'm getting ready to say, what I'm getting ready to do, will this build up others in the family of God? Ask that question. Stop and ask that question. I'm mad. I want to go say something to somebody. Is this going to edify? Is this going to build up the body of Christ? Think about it. If not, you got to leave it out of your life. There's enough negativity going on, isn't it? I'm sure that there are people in your life that when you see them coming, make you think of things that don't please Jesus. Yeah, you'd be having a good day, you're going down the street, and then you see them coming and you're like, oh. Yeah, and you know why? Because there ain't nothing gonna be right. There's going to be problems, and when they come up and talk to you, they're going to suck all the joy out of your life and everybody on that block. They're joy suckers. We've talked about them before. And then the thing about it is, you can't help it. When you walk away, you're like, I was in a great mood 5 minutes ago. What happened? Let me tell you what happened. They just sucked all the joy out of your life. Now, I do a real spiritual thing. When I see that coming, I cross the street or duck into a store and hide. You know why? Because you know what happens, particularly with old preachers? Old preachers tend to feel what other people feel. When you hurt, we hurt. When you rejoice, we rejoice. When you sorrow, we sorrow. And when you're angry, we try our best to battle those things through. But boy, I'll tell you one thing. It takes an emotional drain and strength. And you understand it, because that's what happens to you. You're like, man, I was in a great mood a few minutes ago. What happened? You know what happened. Listen, don't be that person that I duck in and hide in a cloak rack. Don't be that person that when I see you coming, I want to cross the street. Not just me, but other people. Everybody knows them. And it's almost like they were created that way. How many of y'all know somebody like that? I'm not going to ask you who they are, but you know somebody like that. That there is never anything good comes out of their mouth. How you doing today, brother? Oh, well, my lumbago's been acting up. And I'll tell you one thing. It was the worst night's sleep I've had in 50 years. Hallelujah. Yeah, I wasn't really asking you. That was redundant. That was a conversation starter. But the problem is, those conversation starters are not generally conversation starters with those kind of people. If you ask them how they're doing, they're going to tell you. How you doing today? My sciatica's horrible. Thought you was getting that worked on. Well, I did, but that doctor's no good. I'm leaving him tomorrow. Well, what happened there? I went through 97 treatments at $50,000 a piece, and it's no good. Boy, that makes me want to go away pumping my fist, going, victory in Jesus, right? See, it's the same thing with you and I. Let's go into the new year and let's keep the main things the main things. And listen, when we walk in to the house of the Lord, check all that stuff outside. Let me tell you why. Satan wants you to bring that in with you. He wants you to bring all those thoughts. He wants you to bring all those things that are heavy on your heart. You know why? So he can distract you from hearing what the Lord wants you to hear today or any other day. And if he can keep you in that position, he wins. That's why I've said before, and I pray, I said, Lord, help us not be distracted today from what it is that you have for us. Now, I know there are some things that you lay down at the door there that you have to pick back up when you go back out, because they're real life things you have to deal with. But you know, the thing about it is, you can always give them to God and let him carry them. His shoulders are broader. He's much stronger than we are. And here's the thing I found out after all these years. He has the best answer for each and every situation in our lives. So you know what? We need to get to the point where I don't have any issues. God does. You know why? Because I gave them to him. It's like hot potato. You remember that game you used to play, passing it around? We just pass it on off to God. He'll catch it and keep it. He's just that way. Like, oh, look at this mess. Here, God. And he's like, I got it. We're fixed up. No problem whatsoever. Draw the line on things that are not going to build up your family, the body of the Lord, your neighbors, your coworkers. If there are things that are not going to be uplifting, leave them out of your life. See, we've got this get even mentality, don't we? We want a pound of flesh. We want to let everybody know how disgruntled we are with them. I've said so many times, I think one of the most interesting things that I have ever said, particularly when two people are not in agreement with one another, and I would say, particularly when one says the other one has wronged them, the question that repeatedly never gets answered is this. When I ask the supposed victim, I'll say, let me ask you this. What does resolution look like to you? I get the same result you just did. It's quiet. You know why? Because what they really want is that person drawn and quartered, but they won't say it out loud. You know why? Because if they say it out loud, they have to own it. And they realize how bad that it would be coming out of their mouth. So I said, yep, what it really is you want something that does not edify. What it really is you want revenge, you want vengeance, you want that pound of flesh. And that's the only thing that's going to bring about resolution unless you're willing to turn that over to the Father. Now, I would like to say that all the people that I've had those conversations with said, you know what, preacher, you're right, the word's right, I'm sorry, I was wrong, I'm praying this through, we're going to get back. No, that's not what happens, because we live in a real world where so many people feel like they're justified for a pound of flesh. That is not what the Word of God ever, ever says. So we must draw the line at things that do not edify. So let me give you this, and then I'm going to shut it down. I call it the threefold test of all that we do and say as we head into the new year. I got three things. You know, preachers have to have like 3 points and something. So here's your 3 points. I'm gonna read them slow, or I'm going to give them to you again, because I want you to write these in your Bible. I want you to remember this. I want you someday in this particular year to go back and find this in your Bible, and I want you to see how you're doing. It's the threefold test of all that we say and all that we do in the new year. And number one, this is your litmus test. Number one is this. You ask this question: does it help me along in my Christian life? Does it help me along in my Christian life, if the things that I'm getting ready to do and the things I'm getting ready to say, are they things that are going to help me along the way in my spiritual walk and in my Christian life? That's a big question. You know, sometimes we go, you know what? I've already realized there's some things that I can't answer that first question with, and I need to get them prioritized today. So once again, number one, does it help me along in my Christian life? Number two is this. Will it allow me to remain free? I'm going to stop right there. Will it allow me to remain free? Will it allow me to remain free, or will it become my master? Will it allow me to remain free, or will it become my master? Money, recreation, cars, all these different things. One of them deserves your service, the other should serve you. So once again, number two, will it allow me to remain free, or will it become my master? And listen, folks, you have got to be honest with yourself. To thine own self be true. If you cannot be honest with yourself, you can't be honest with anybody. Because if you ask yourself this question and you know deep down in your heart of hearts that there's errant, your ways are errant, even based on these first two questions, you already know what you should do. Number two, will it allow me to remain free, or will it become my master? And finally this, does it build up others? Does it build up others, or does it tear others down? That's an easy one, isn't it? Does it build up other people? Do the things that you say build people up? Are they encouragement in somebody's walk? Yeah, I've said it before. You know what? You know when you get done preaching and you're greeting people at the door and somebody comes back and says, "Hey, preacher, I just want to let you know that's the worst sermon I ever heard in my life." Hooray, that makes me feel good. It might be true, but you know what? How did that edify, you know, this old preacher? Now, by the same token, you don't have to go back out there and say, "That's the best sermon I ever heard in my life," either. Because then I'd know you're lying, and then there'd be something that was crazy. But you know what? So, hey, preacher, I just wanted you to know, I liked your shirt today. Or I learned something. I learned one thing. Or there's one thing I'm going to take away from here. I'm going to try to build up the body of Christ. I'm going to try to be the encourager. And listen, let me tell you, you're the reason why most people aren't encouragers, because they don't have encouragers in their life. That's why. They become a product of what they're exposed to all the time. And that's sad. You take a person like that and you start to encourage them, you'll change their life, I guarantee it. I mean, I love projects with crabby old people. You know, and you go to them and yeah, you start talking with them and they're grouchy and everything else. And then what's funny is when you keep on going back, they can't understand why you do. It's almost like they try to push you away, but then they get curious. Why do you take the abuse I give you? Are you picturing what's going on? Why do you take the abuse I give you and keep coming back? Well, that tells you right there, they're the ones putting out the abuse. And then sometimes they'll even ask you, "I have been horrible to you, and yet you keep coming back. Why?" Let me tell you why. Because the God that I know loves you. And he loves you enough that he sent his only begotten son to die on a cross for you. And I sure would like to have you as my brother or my sister in Christ. And I'd like for us to get to know each other a little better in the kingdom of heaven. You'd be surprised what will take place. So that's your threefold test. Let me hit them one more time. One, does it help me along in my Christian life? Number two, will it allow me to remain free or will it become my master? Number three, does it build others up? I like what John Wesley said. He said, whatever cools my affection towards Christ is of the world. Wilbur Chapman said, anything that dims my vision of Christ or takes away my taste for Bible study or cramps my prayer life or makes Christian work more difficult is wrong for me. I don't know about you guys. I love being here on Sundays. I love having this opportunity to see you guys. And I love having this opportunity to do life with you. And you know, I've said it before, and I believe this, I believe I speak for our whole staff when I say this. You know, not every day is a really, really good day, but every day is a day that we surely love you guys, and we look forward to these times and these moments. You know, sometimes when you come in, the projection may not be working, the computer may have crashed, the online stuff may be going crazy or awry, but when all is said and done, we are coming together under the banner of Christ right here. And you know something I learned a long time ago? Everything else is just peripheral. I said one time before, back when everything was going awry, I said, do you realize that we actually did church for decades without cameras? Do you realize that we actually did church without sound systems and things like that? Imagine that. Wow. Get the acoustic section today. Okay? That's what it's about. It's about you guys. Church is not about these pews and this carpet. It's about you guys. It's about us loving one another. Listen, we're going to go through some tough, tough times, and we're going to need each other. And you know what, when you get to that particular point where you are emotionally spent, when you are physically spent, when everything is going on in your life, there is nothing like a brother coming up there and putting his arm around you and saying, come on, we're gonna take these steps together. We're going to walk together. Even if I don't agree with what they've done that's put them in that place. Did you hear that? Last time I checked, Brad, you guys, come on. Last time I checked, the Bible says this, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. How many of us are included in all? All means all, and that's all that all means. So that means I am a sinner just like you. But yet so often we want to categorize sin, don't we? His sin's worse than mine. Well, you know what? I may not be perfect, but at least I'm not as bad as Bill. You know, my spiritual walk may not be, you know, good, but then there's Mark. Well, see, we compare ourselves to other people. We need to be comparing ourselves to the Master. And here's when it comes down to it. But by the grace of God go I. So when my brother is taken in a fall, you know what? It may be staggering. It may be big and it may be bad. But you know what my job is? My job is to love him through it. My job is to come alongside them. Not to be ashamed of them. Not to shove them off in a corner. But to sit back and say, hey, listen, we're limping toward the kingdom together. But we're going to make it. We don't leave anybody behind. And I want to tell you the sad testimony of today's Christianity is that we've cut too many people loose. I can't believe what they did. No wonder people run away from where they should be running to. Wow. Something that simple. There should be grace and love in the arms of the Father through each and every one of us and through this church. Well, you just don't know what that person did. Don't care what they did. Last time I checked, God can forgive any sin. And I'm not judge, jury, or executioner. We have walked with some people in life before to the point where we've lost friends, we've lost spiritual family and everything else because we stood with them through some tough times. And I'm going to tell you this, I don't have any regrets for that because someday I will stand before the Father and I believe with all of my heart He's going to say, you did the right thing because I was more important, because that person was more important than what somebody else felt or thought or said about someone else. I said before, I love you guys, but He comes first. What's it going to be in 2026? Where are you going to draw the line? Some of you already know that you need to get out the chalk. Now you need to get out the jackhammer. You need to put a big old ditch. You need to put a ditch line between you and those things as you head into 2026. And I pray God's going to give you everything you need to do that. So I ask this question today. Have you trusted Jesus? Remember in this message I said He has offered you a gift. He said, you know, God says, I gave my only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, on Calvary's cross. He was crucified for your sins. Every sin, past, present, and future. All of them. He says, now here's the thing. I'm not going to force this gift on you. It's a gift you have to receive freely. So today He offers the gift of salvation. You know in your heart. If the Lord's beckoning your heart towards salvation, you know it. He is speaking loudly and clearly to you. So if that's what He's doing to you today, then I'm saying, hey, whatever you're doing, stop what you're doing right now. Bow your head and say, Lord, I hear you. I know I'm a sinner. I ask you to forgive my sin. Save my soul. And help me live for you. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I've said many, many times that if you did that, you meant it with all your heart. That was you acknowledging Christ in your life. But that's just a handshake. Yeah, He wants you to follow Him. You have become part of the family. You've got some papers now, okay? You got papers. You got a place at the table. You got a mansion in glory. But He wants you to live like the family. So if you trusted Christ, in just a moment when we start to sing this song, do me a favor, just come let me know. We want to celebrate with you. We're not going to try to do anything goofy or crazy or embarrass anybody. But man, we would love to have an opportunity to help you get started on your walk with the Lord. Maybe you're here today and you have been like most Christians get. We've been on autopilot. And there's been a whole lot of things we've missed. There's been a whole lot of things we have just crashed through. And there's been a whole lot of things that we need to reprioritize so that we can head into the year 2026 better than we were before. So we can be right with the Lord in those things. So we can draw those lines so that we can be what He wants us to be. I've said before, if you need me, I will definitely be praying for you. I'll be here. The altar is here. Whatever the Lord's put on your heart, whatever the Lord's put on your mind, you respond to Him now. Do not let Satan pull you away. As Brad comes to lead us as we sing number 282, Living for Jesus, would you stand? Thank you. As you look to the Lord in a word of prayer, what is it that He's saying to you? Don't let this moment get away from you. I know there are distractions. I know there are things that we've got to do today. And Satan right now is trying to keep those in your forefront. He's trying to repress what it is that the Spirit is saying to you right now. Don't let that happen. Don't let Him be victorious. May 2026 be the best year of your life. May it be the best year for our church. May it be the best year for our families. As you continue to seek the Master, I'm going to ask our ushers to make their way down to the front as we prepare to receive the Lord's tithe and our offering to Him. Father, as we come to You today, we once again praise You for all the provision in our lives. And Lord, as we come to this time of worship, when we give back to You that portion that You have truly blessed us with, may we be found faithful. Lord, not because You need it, because Father, You own the cattle of a thousand hills, but Lord, because You want to bless us through our faithfulness and our obedience. So, Lord, may we take up Your challenge to be faithful in the tithe as we pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Oh. Amen. Thank you, Jim and Amy. Let me give you a couple things, and then we'll get you on out of here. Just a couple things to remember this coming week. Birthdays today, Nancy Young has a birthday, so if you get a chance, be sure to let Miss Nancy know that you love her, wish her a happy birthday. Tomorrow, Monday, Amy Crider will be having a birthday, another trip around the sun, one of the featured players there just a moment ago. Then on Tuesday, Erica Twitty will be having a birthday. Thursday, Madeline Swaney. Madeline might still be in Texas, isn't she?
Yep.
Yeah, she's still in Texas. Hey, Madeline, if you're watching, happy birthday this coming week. And then this coming Friday, Wesley Ham. Wesley's in our control room over there working on our broadcast. But anyway, give these guys a hand. I had birthdays for this week. Don't have any listed anniversaries. Just some things that we've got coming up. We will not be having evening worship services today as we head into to New Year's. The office will be closed on Thursday. And then, let's see, Ladies Connections, just to give you your 2 days, January the 7th at 4 o'clock p.m. will be your Ladies Connections meeting right here at the church at 4 o'clock. And then on the 14th of January is your breakfast at 9 a.m. at Cagney's at Friendly. We want to continue to keep our Cuba mission trip, those that are going and that are involved with that. That's going to be February the 27th. Through March the 6th. So we've got everything lined out and ready to go for that. And I'm sure there's a whole bunch of stuff that we have going on. Y'all remember my mom? She's probably watching right now, but she is watching from a hospital bed in Concord, North Carolina. After she left me, she went down to my sister's at Concord for Christmas, and she wound up with flu A and COVID. So she's in the hospital in Concord. She is doing well. I think she is. I think she's through the tough part. But you know how it is. It's a little nip and tuck sometimes when you're going through that. At the hospital over there, my sister was talking to them. They said, "Yes, and we've had 39." My sister said, "Well, that's not bad for the month." And they said, "No, 39 for the day." That flu A is really bad, and the same thing is going on right around here. They said flu season has started early, and it is hitting hard. So, as always, we remember those that that are watching us. Don Ree, love you, girl. I know that Nancy Tuttle watches us, Othenia Scarborough, some of our regular folks that are out there. We just want you to know that you may not be in here present, but you're right here with us in spirit. So we love you. We thank you. And thank you once again for all the kindness that you have showed our staff through this holiday season. It really is a privilege to serve you guys. We love you. We thank you. I am going to slip on out of here because I got some distance to do to go check on my mama. But continue to remember David and Donna. As David, give us a report on Donna as you close us out in a word of prayer. And you know how it is. He's a caregiver. So caregivers need almost as much, if not more, prayer than those that are taking care. So we're going to continue to pray for Donna, and David will give us an update.
Donna had surgery November the 13th. She's been incarcerated ever since in two hospitals and a rehab facility. Lord willing, she's coming home tomorrow. Thank you for your prayer. You guys have been a blessing to us. I know we would not be where we are today if it were not for the prayers of this church, and we love you. Let me lead you in word of prayer before we go. Our Father, we're just so thankful for your love for us. We're thankful for the love that binds us together. Lord, help us to take this message today and apply it to our hearts, that we might be loving and caring for the family of God, for our own physical families, and then for the world, lost world around us, so that we might be salt and light in the world that we participate in every day. Father, we pray for Roy's mom and other people in that hospital fighting these difficult viruses. Pray for healing for them. Lord, we know you're the healer, and we pray that you would minister to their needs. Father, in our church family, there are friends and family that are going through difficult times. We pray that you would bless them and minister to them and draw them close to yourself. Use us as we go from this place today, Lord, to be a witness for you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.